Hey, everybody, it's the Great Debates Podcast. Welcome back to the show. I'd like to just begin. Yeah. No one's going to talk. I'm just going to begin the whole podcast. And so what I'm going to do is, while you're waiting, I'm going to pull up a timer on my phone. I'm going to set it to 3 minutes. You guys know how this is done. And I'm going to introduce a micro debate topic, and our debaters are not going to speak until we begin. So I'm going to have Steve Healy take the pro, as per usual. And the topic is, it's safe to eat at Chipotle again.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. First of all, I have to disclose that I myself am a Chipotle shareholder. I believe in this company a lot. So, like, I know there's SEC rules. If you're going to go on the radio and talk about how much you like a company, you have to disclose. That's how much I believe in Chipotle. I love it. I've eaten there all the time. Chipotle, as you know, had some problems with E. coli or something recently. And they, what did they do? How did they respond? They shut everything down. Every single Chipotle in the country stopped so they could have a meeting about food safety. Everybody could get a strong education. This is the first time it happened in the 10-some years of Chipotle. They took care of the problem immediately. Strong address by management, fixed the problem, got everybody on the same page. Now we're ready to go Chipotle again. Their system is back up and running. They've looked through the entire chain. They found every flaw. Chipotle is safe to eat again. I'm going to be eating there again myself on the way home.
Okay, I'm Dave King. I strongly disagree. Healy, they didn't take care of the problem immediately. There were multiple outbreaks of both E. coli and norovirus before Chipotle did anything. They refused to close their stores. They clearly do not know how to manage what is a public health crisis. Here's what I object to when it comes to Chipotle. Sure, they closed their stores for half a day, but we don't know what they've done in terms of the actual sources of the food that has the actual contaminant within it. Just because they're going to instruct their managers and their workers to scrub the counter a little harder doesn't mean that the lettuce that they get it doesn't mean that the lettuce that they buy is going to be free of E. coli. That kind of stuff is a distribution problem. That's a on the farm problem. We don't know. In fact, it's an unknown problem. That's what's most dangerous about it. We don't know where the E. coli comes from. We don't know where the norovirus is. It notovirus or norovirus?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But I will tell you
it's
this.
Unknown. No one knows.
There's a couple things about Chipotle that are important to know. One is they're probably the most controlling of their own supply chain of any company around. This is why there is Chipotle, and you probably don't have Baja Fresh anywhere near you, let alone some of the lesser Mexican chains that never survived. Because Chipotle, which for a while was part of the McDonald's corporate chain,
right,
learned how to manage massive supply chains, got it down to a science. So I guarantee you,
well, they did a terrible job of it.
They know what Chipotle exactly where these outbreaks came from.
If
they solve the problems,
if they're controlling and they've got it down to a science, then no one gets E. coli to your stomach better than Chipotle. That's the one thing they've become designed to do.
You can easily get E. coli in your own kitchen. Everybody in the world is going to get food poisoning here and there over the course of your life.
No other restaurant like this has had the number of outbreaks that Chipotle had.
Dude, Jack in the Box had a listeria outbreak. People died.
And
Jack in the Box, they fixed the problem.
And it was not safe to eat a Jack in the Box again at the time. We're talking about, currently, this is only like 2 weeks, 1 week after the day when they shut the stores down. I wouldn't eat a Jack in a Box a week after people were dying across the country.
Chipotle is...
Oh, save it, buddy.
Medina, talk to us.
Did... I feel like it's safe to eat Chipotle.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Yes.
I feel like it was safe to eat Chipotle immediately after, even during the outbreak.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, I ate a Chipotle well in between the time when there was a huge outbreak and the day when they closed the stores down. Because I
did stop after the outbreak.
But how long did they close the stores down for? I missed
half
that
a
whole,
day.
Half a day. Okay.
And you could get a free burrito if you. What's going on here?
Little Esther's a victim of Chipotle.
Little Esther went to Chipotle and got sick.
Well, look, really? Sometimes you're going to get sick from food.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is Chipotle safer than every other restaurant in the world, or equally as safe? Absolutely.
I think that they identified food safety as a risk for them as a restaurant in general because of the freshness of their food and maybe the lower levels of antibiotics. I don't know. There was some.
Also, if anything, they know now that they'll be destroyed if it happens. They are double on top of it now. I would say Chipotle is way safer to eat now than it was probably was before.
Vigilance.
Interesting.
That's one of those counterintuitive, like Malcolm Gladwell kind of things.
I haven't been to a Chipotle in so long.
You haven't?
No.
It's so good.
It's so good. I used to go all the time. You can get a margarita at a Chipotle. Did you know that?
No. Can you get that at every Chipotle?
Not at my local.
The one on in the farmer's market area definitely has margaritas.
Really?
I know that the one at the Beverly Center has margaritas.
Really?
Yes. They used to.
If we're talking margs, we're into host chat.
Oh baby.
I'll say.
I'm psyched for host chat this week because we had a great debates adventure.
Yeah, I got to hear about this. I wasn't part of this.
No, you were not.
And what happened was we gathered here tonight, and I said, guys, you went on an adventure. Healy Medina, tell me the story. And Healy, you said,
save it for host chat.
So here we are.
Here we are.
We're at host chat.
What the hell happened out there, gang?
Well, Dan and I were planning to go on an expedition doing some backcountry driving and camping in Death Valley National Park. Then Dan pulled up sick with bronchitis.
Oh.
Some of my coworkers and I had already gotten them psyched about it, so we rented a Jeep Wrangler. We headed out to the park. We're going to rip it. About 6 a.m., we're on the road early. We get a text from Medina. I'm doing it. I'm getting it together. I'm fucking coming.
Of course.
I took my antibiotics. I slept for a whole week, practically.
Yeah.
I felt great when I woke up on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell with this. I'm getting in the truck and I'm going. I packed a sandwich, I think, and threw my sleeping bag in the bag in the back of the truck. And I was on the road.
And what happens out there?
So here's the thing about Death Valley. When you get close, there's no cellular signal. Now, I was a little bit behind Steve and the crew in my truck. I had a little bit of mechanical trouble on the way there. So I was...
Is that a euphemism for, like, diarrhea?
It was the car equivalent of diarrhea.
Car diarrhea.
Oh, car... Okay.
And then I felt sort of drowsy and I took a nap for a while.
Okay.
So I arrived at Death Valley 2 hours after Steve, and I thought...
Death Valley, by the way, we should tell listeners, is enormous. It's as big as Yellowstone. It's huge.
It's something like 3 million square miles, right?
Yeah, right. And so you got no service, and it's how the hell am I going to find...
Where am I going to find these guys in the desert?
And so did you let out the Great Debates call?
Yes, that was my first instinct.
Okay. And I assume by now all of our listeners know the call.
Will you do the call for us?
Of course.
Right.
And if you hear that, then
if you hear that, there's another great debater in the area. Respond to the call.
Okay, so you did that, and they were probably out of vocal range.
It was too far for them to hear.
It was echoing through the canyons to no one.
But then I figured, all right, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to pull into whatever the first ranger station area is, and there's going to be a note for me on some bulletin board that says Medina.
Okay.
I was just, I had this vision that that's what was going to happen. So I get into Stovepipe Wells, which was the idea of the
Stovepipe Wells.
It's the place where we've decided we might camp, right?
Okay.
And there's a ranger station, a general store, a really gnarly campground that's basically a parking lot. I'm looking around the general store. There's no notes posted or anything.
Right.
I look across the street. There's a saloon over there.
I'm
thinking maybe in the saloon.
Sure.
No, and then over there, there's a bulletin board by the campground. And I walked over.
No way.
And I look at the bulletin board. Now I'm showing Dave a picture.
Okay, so I'm seeing
What is that? It's a note that says...
I see here a note.
That says Medina on it.
It says Medina, and it's held in place by a rock, and the handwriting could only be that of one Steve Healy. God, that's great.
So then it said that they didn't like the campground here. They were headed to another one 30 miles away. I got on the road to go over there about halfway to the campground.
Past the Devil's Cornfield.
No way.
Going.
It's really called the Devil's Cornfield.
Sure, they've got the Devil's Cornfield.
Okay. They've got the Mesquite Dunes out there.
Yeah, the tall
they've
kills.
They've got a lot of cool stuff. There were every time a Jeep passed me going the other direction, I was scanning it, looking at the drivers. And I have to say, Healy, it would have been helpful if you said, we're in red Jeep.
I didn't anticipate exactly what was going to go down.
It's fine, because what did go down is that a few miles down the road, I passed this Jeep. I look in the eyes of the driver. Wait a minute. That's Healy.
Wow.
We slam on the brakes. We found ourselves together in the middle of the desert.
That's amazing.
So we drove up to an abandoned mine. We went to Chloride City. We're crawling around these old collapsing mines. We were driving around Titus Canyon.
Great success. We're driving from like negative 100 feet or 100 feet below sea level to 6,000 feet above sea level in a matter of an hour.
God, that's great.
Off-roading.
Switchbacks, bouncing around.
Will there be pictures of this in the Great Debates newsletter?
Maybe in Great Debates News. By the way. Thanks for bringing that up.
So you call it Great Debates News.
Yeah.
It's not the Great Debates newsletter.
It is a newsletter, but it's called Great Debates News.
GD News, for short. GDN.
And by the way, I was giving you a hard time about Great Debates News.
You sure were.
When I announced it, you made fun of it.
I didn't know what it was. You surprised us. I thought
you've done nothing towards helping it.
Not at all.
And now you're trying to take credit for it because it's a huge success.
Well, I would
say... It was a fairly typical experience of dealing with you.
That seems uncalled for.
If you listen to the old Great Debates episodes, same phenomenon. Let's have a podcast, David. Healy, this is terrible. Nobody's listening. This stinks.
I still think that this stinks, and there's much better uses of your time. So don't ever accuse me of being a supporter of this podcast.
Hey, listeners, if you're not clear, we have Great Debates News. It's a newsletter. It's free. It comes out once a week, usually on Monday after the debate. There's some follow-up stories from behind the debates, interviews with...
Behind the baits.
Behind the baits. Dan Medina's going to have a column in Great Debates News.
Moderator's corner. Or something.
We're looking for that.
Still looking for a title. If you have title suggestions, tweet at me.
Everything
what you
in
think
moderation.
I should call my moderator's column. You have to do better than everything in moderation to win.
That's the leader in the clubhouse. That's pretty good. I'm ready to move on to
a main.
Yeah. Do you want to keep debating?
I want to keep debating.
Oh, okay. Let me just say, if you want to subscribe to Great Debates News, go to Great Debates 69, our website. Pop your email in there. It's free. You'll be part of the family.
I want to thank a listener for submitting that last topic.
Oh, who's that?
This was at Lindy Luter from Twitter. We assume her name is Lindy Luter. Thank you for submitting this topic.
Lindsay Luter, probably.
Yeah. What makes you think it's Lindsay?
I don't know. Linda.
Oh, Linda. Lindsay. Two different names, I think.
Could be a number of names. Her whole first name could be Lindy Luter.
Lindy Luter, Baxter Burnham.
If her first name is Lindy Luter, her last name is probably Baxter Burnham.
Or Lindy Luter Chan. Who knows?
Could be.
Well, listener at Lindy Luter, if you reach out to us and send us an email with your address, we'll send you some Great Debate swag. Thanks for submitting that topic. I've got a main event also... submitted by a listener.
Listener week.
Our listeners have been knocking it out of the park with the tops.
Yeah.
This is Henry Johnson's topic. Henry, thank you very much. If you send us your info, we'll send you some swag for submitting a topic that made it onto the proverbial air.
Henry sent us about 30 topics organized by categories: sports, entertainment, blah, blah, blah. Serious fan of the show. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
All of them were good.
Henry, a top candidate for this week's Gets It of the Week.
He
could be.
He's in the conversation for sure.
Because his topics were all formulated correctly.
Correctly.
That's
they were statements.
Deal. Declarative statements.
Right.
I think that's the Gets It of the Week, right?
He could be Gets It of the Week.
Okay. Are you guys ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, Healy, you're going to take the pro.
Okay. I'd love to.
The topic up for debate. The stars of Friends could beat the stars of Seinfeld in a fight.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
You did that already.
Aniston, working out constantly, body's in amazing shape. Cox, one of the greatest aging actresses of our lifetime. Just her body continues to be an amazing machine. Very wily performer, survivor of the entertainment business. Kudrow, force. What does she project constantly? Energy. LeBlanc, strength, ferocity, manliness, obviously hitting the gym. He's in episodes. All these actors have continued working steadily. Schwimmer. I mean, my God, the guy's playing Robert Kardashian in the OJ show right now. He's amazing. He's still got it. Versatile guy. Stays in good shape. Finally, Matthew Perry had some bumps on the road, but I think in a fight situation, he's going to come to the aid of the Friends. More important than anything, the unity of the cast, their ability to work together as a team. This is a cast that could have broken apart over salary negotiations, any number of problems. They made it through 10-some years of making huge amounts of money, sticking together, allies to each other. They're at each other's weddings. Now, look, I don't know if Gunther is considered one of the stars, but I think he should be thrown in there. I don't know about the monkey, Ross's monkey, but I think he could possibly be considered a star of Friends. And they're going up against Jerry Seinfeld, who's approaching 70 years old, Jason Alexander, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Michael Richards, period. That's it. That's the battle. You want these superhuman athletes and powerhouses of physical conditioning against Seinfeld and...
You got to dig deeper because first of all, to call these people your Kudrows and your Aniston superhuman conditioning or whatever you just referred to is a wild exaggeration. But the larger point here is you have to dig deeper. What's the problem with the cast of Friends in a fight? They're kind souls. They're not going to want to hurt anybody. You got Jerry Seinfeld. You got, Jason Alexander. Michael Richards is ready to tear shit up. And what does he have that none of the others have? Reach. He's got strength. He's got height. He's going to be able to keep, he alone could keep the three female stars of Friends at bay. And boy, did you screw up when you threw Gunther in the mix? Because all I've got to say to you, buddy, is hello, Newman. Because here comes Wayne Knight, and here comes Patrick Warburton, the other stars of Seinfeld.
Patrick Warburton, star of Seinfeld.
Absolutely, Healy. If you were watching Late Late Show with James Corden, and they said welcome our next guest. He was one of the stars of Seinfeld, Patrick Warburton. Everybody. I don't think people would object to that.
People would be disappointed. Corden would not do that to his audience. Speaking of kindness.
Well, they know who's going to be on the show. I'm not suggesting that James Corden would say, like, we have a surprise. We're in the free skate.
Did you just basically throw away your opening statement?
I didn't throw it away at all. What I'm talking about Kudrow is attitude. You have to think about Lisa Kudrow doesn't have it in her to hurt a fly.
Are you kidding me? This is a fight. We're putting them together in a fight. Blood is going to boil. It's going to come down to the basic primal instincts.
You want to put them in the ring with a 6-foot three man who wasn't afraid to use the N-word on stage? That's who they're up against.
What I see when I see Michael Richards using the N-word is a guy who's fragile and unbalanced and could be taken down easily through schemes or just through direct attack.
Through schemes?
Yeah. I mean, if anything, he's spent the time since then, as we saw when he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, like trying to zen out, trying to get more mellow. Like, he's the one who's going to flake in a fight.
What a classic mistake to think that people who are more mellow and zenned out are the people who are unable to fight. If anything, that only makes him more prepared for battle. What I'm talking about is you have to look into these people's actual souls. Jennifer Aniston, Lisa Kudrow, and actually I would throw Schwimmer in there. I consider to be gentle people who are afraid of combat.
Okay, Michael, let me tell you something. You do not end up as a star on the level of these people. And after Friends, let's move on. All of these people have continued to succeed and have careers. That is, they project kindness and friendship because that's their job. But what they also have is tenacity. They are survivors.
You're going to tell me Julia Louis-Dreyfus doesn't have tenacity? Here's a woman who has had two successful shows after Seinfeld.
I give a lot of credit to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Louis-Dreyfus could beat the shit out of any of those women and probably two
fight
of them.
Team, if I were drafting out of these people a fight team.
And we will be after the debate.
Julia Louis, I would want her. She's obviously a great fighter, very talented, very athletic woman.
I mean, here's the
She's
woman
also physically very small. No question Kudrow could take out Dreyfus.
I don't think so.
That one-on-one. Cox could take out Dreyfus.
You know,
I haven't even had to deploy my men yet.
I think it's worth noting Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a woman. Here's a woman who was independently wealthy before she even started her career.
Yeah, she's great. Needs another thing of talking about how great Julia Louis-Dreyfus is? Yeah,
no,
she's great.
This debate needs a reminder.
Would destroy her. She'd be in pieces by the time Kudrow's
going to be off on her guitar singing Smelly Cat.
Is the character Phoebe.
Julia
that's not Lisa Kudrow.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to take that guitar and smash it over her head.
Come on, Dave. You're not falling into that simplest of fallacies.
What?
Thinking that the character is who they are. Kudrow is a tenacious fighter.
Based on what?
You know, she did that web series where she was a crazy therapist. You know, she's got a lot
of
shades.
Character.
Okay, yeah. She has a lot of... We can't judge just on her character on Friends. She is a... What do we know about her as a human? That she continues to work. That she keeps herself together.
Continues to work? What does that even mean?
It means you're keeping in shape. A lot of people basically go to
By the way, can I make a couple points? Sorry about Jason Alexander. I don't think we should overlook this.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who... What is his main source of work these days is the stage. Here's a man who's not afraid to
hey, Schwimmer be in a came musical. Up through the stage in Chicago. You know, this guy's an
but
old
Jason
school
Alexander
stage actor.
Is a song and dance man, and
Jason Alexander's gonna have his head through the
way,
wall in
his,
5 minutes by the time Schwimmer's done with him.
That's absurd. His size, I believe, will actually be an asset here. I think he's actually slimmed down recently. And his size, I believe, again, picture Jason Alexander trying to manhandle, you know, I think he could take care of Perry and Aniston himself.
You are crazy if you think Alexander could take care of even Perry. Perry is ferocious.
Perry's not ferocious. Perry's, let's face it, Perry's damaged goods. He doesn't have it anymore. In terms of, I mean, sure, could he?
Is there a time
when Perry could have beat up Jason Alexander? Maybe. But those days are long gone.
Okay, Perry's a guy who's been through the process of recovery. That's very challenging. That builds a lot of character. He's ready for Alexander.
You and I both watched the same video, which was, and you know what I'm going to say. Yeah. Peter Hitchens debating Matthew Perry about
this is not
drug
a debate.
Use.
It's a physical fight.
No, but what was the one thing you learned from that video clip?
Okay. For the listeners, you're talking about a video where Peter Hitchens, Christopher Hitchens' brother,
yes.
Dave is such a debate nerd that he's into like the more obscure Hitchens' brother, Peter.
That's right.
Who's lamer and less cool than Peter Hitchens, which
is
why Dave likes him.
Contrarian than
so
his
on a
brother,
British talk
amazing.
Show, he and Perry
yes.
were matched up about whether drug addiction is, blah,
is a
blah,
real
like,
thing.
Yeah, whether like a person should have
and
any responsibility
Matthew
for
Perry
it.
Folded
Peter
like
Hitchens
a chair.
Takes him to pieces.
He
yeah,
crushed him. I didn't agree with anything Peter Hitchens was saying, and he destroyed
okay,
him.
Okay, but that was
and
in
Matthew
the UK.
Perry was maybe grasping at straws.
Who knows where Perry
was?
He didn't know what he was walking into. Maybe he was jet lagged. He
didn't know what he was walking into. He's supposed to be a recovery expert. He's more of an expert than Peter Hitchens was.
Okay, he wasn't briefed properly. You know, Hitchens is a guy is just basically a
let's
professional
move away
debater.
From this.
Forget
don't
about
know.
It. Yeah. Let's go into closing statements.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to give you the matchup. Here's what happens. Aniston takes out Alexander easily. Cox Seinfeld, decent fight. Kudrow jumps in. Seinfeld.
What was
out.
Cox? Oh, Courtney Cox versus
Courtney
Jerry,
Cox
Seinfeld.
Against
is
Jerry
this,
Seinfeld.
Is a decent fight?
Courtney Cox is in great shape. Now we have LeBlanc. He's ready to fight Michael Richards. Listener, decide for yourself.
Victory for Richards,
who's
obviously.
Left of the Seinfeld cast? You want to give Newman. Okay, Schwimmer Newman, no problem. Nobody's left for Seinfeld. And I haven't even
got,
had to use
I've got
Perry
Warburton.
Or Gunther
I've yet. Got Putty.
Okay, fine. If you really want
Putty
to have,
is a monster.
If you want to have Putty, then I get Gunther and the monkey.
You can have Gunther and the monkey. Gunther's probably 80 years old
Gunther
by now.
Gunther and the monkey take out Patrick Warburton.
Like, if you want to treat this seriously, the monkey actually can inflict damage on any of these people because he's not trained to fight. And Patrick Warburton is a fucking beast. He's bigger than anyone we've mentioned so far. Putty is my secret weapon.
Patrick Warburton is not a star of Seinfeld. He should not be included in this.
You threw Gunther in there. You made this mistake.
That's
you
just
created this monster.
At this
monster.
Point, I'm just trying to amuse myself
well,
because
you know
it's
what?
So obvious
hey, in
that the
future,
Friends team.
In the future, I'd appreciate it if you showed some respect for the integrity of the debates as
what
opposed to just trying to have fun.
If you get Patrick Warburton, is Janice there? Does Janice get to fight Patrick Warburton?
I would say that if you have Janice, then I get Dan Cortez.
How about, okay, then I get Tom Selleck. I mean, you want to talk all day? Keep adding people?
No,
Gould is in there.
Elliot Gould? You want Elliot Gould
he
on your side
Courtney
to fight?
Cox's dad
people
or whatever,
who Elliot
yeah.
Gould played in Friends. Don't look at me. All right, I think we're done with the debate. Medina, would any thoughts?
Medina.
You know,
come to the
I
rescue here.
I actually thought that the Friends team was kind of a bunch of goofballs, but when Steve, I thought what you did that was great was take all the women who are almost certainly in better shape than any of the men at this point, right?
Yes.
And use them as your front line. So that
Thank
I think
you.
That was smart.
I mean, I do want to... Jennifer Aniston, like, keeping her... The physical regimen she must go through to keep herself
right.
in shape and in all these movies
yeah.
and working the way
a
she does.
A lot of Vivino.
She must be, like, at a physical athlete level of training and eating right and
I mean,
staying in shape.
Jerry Seinfeld
is just not
break
there.
Her like a twig.
No. Are you crazy? The guy's driving around in Corvettes. He's getting coffee with Bill Burr. He's not doing anything interesting.
I think Seinfeld is your worst weapon on the Seinfeld team.
It's not great.
I think Newman and I actually think everyone else is a pretty good weapon.
I think you know who I forgot was Jerry Stiller. I'm not going to say he would be much use in this, but I think he was a star of Seinfeld.
He was definitely a star of Seinfeld.
Yeah,
it's fair.
Yeah.
And he could probably fight.
In a pure numbers game, you could argue that there were more stars of Seinfeld, oddly, than stars of Friends.
Because
once you throw in George's parents, I do think Patrick Warburton, I mean, that's a guy who was on how many episodes?
I doubt he was in more than half of the Seinfelds, right?
Probably not.
So he's not a star. We can't really call him a star of the show. But hey, spirited debate. And by the way, if any of the stars are listening and they are interested in putting this together,
please,
producing it,
let us
it,
know. Lot of our listeners, you know, work in Hollywood. We got friends out there who probably have connections to these guys. Don't be afraid to ask them. Are you ready to throw down?
Well, guys, what an episode.
Yeah.
Good
times. It felt good.
Yeah, it felt good. Listeners, thanks for joining us. If you have any commentary, please send it our way. Sign up for our newsletter, GD News. You can do that on our website, Great Debate 69. What is our website?
GreatDebate69.com.
Send us an email. Send us tops. As you've heard, we use the listener tops that are sent to us. And anyway, we're very grateful for you guys tuning in. So on that note, we'll leave you and we'll see you next week.
Hey, you know how Siskel and Ebert would end with, like, they'd still be arguing over the credits?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Oh, I'm interested in that. Yeah. You know the story about that?
No.
I forget which one of them was... Are we still on the air?
I don't know.
We can be.
Who knows?
On the air. one of them, you know, is supposed to be just sort of, like, extemporaneous arguing.
Okay.
And one of them was unable... I forget which one. I think it was... Ebert,
okay,
what, but I could be wrong, was like for whatever reason unable to come just like
to come
do
up
anything
with
unscripted. Okay. So every time he did it, he would say, "We'll see you." What is it? What do they say at the movies?
The movies, yeah.
And then he would turn to Siskel, and all he could do is go and blah blah blah. And the other, and I think it was Siskel would get furious at him and go like, "Can't you just say anything? You can literally say anything. The audio isn't even on us." Anyway, you want to try arguing out?
Yeah, you know, like yeah. Courtney Cox, how can you think that Courtney Cox could fight? You gotta get into
yeah,
it.
I'm yeah, I'm done.
All right. Didn't work.
Sorry.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.